Everybody can hear? Okay. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Good to see you all. Hope Yontif went well. And we'll see what we can, we'll see how we can move forward. We're going to try to give shir today. Again, we'll try to make the shir a little bit shorter, but we'll try to do twice a week for now. So tomorrow, it's today and tomorrow this week. I think typically it'll be Tuesday and Thursday, but this week we have other plans for Thursday. So so this week it'll be Tuesday and Wednesday. So I think Wednesday we set, I don't know if Avraham is there somewhere, we set Wednesday for also 11. Is that convenient for people? Oh, there's Avraham. Right, the word is out for Wednesday?
Yeah, I sent out an email.
Okay, and 11 o'clock is good?
I think so.
Okay, so we'll try to finish off you know, what we're going to do with this topic by tomorrow, and then we'll move on to, again, we'll try to just, you know, do some drive-bys, some quick, analysis of some issues, but I do want to try to get to Daf Tes and Yod Aleph to discuss some of the Chazaka issues, because those are very, very, obviously, big topics, but important topics. All the topics are important, so we might have to skip some things along the way. We'll put it on the ever-growing list, right, which sometimes we do actually get back to. Okay, so let's begin where we left off, which was, I think, discussing the problem of Isurei Hana and Mekalkel. Again, this overlaps a little bit on a topic that we did last year. I said last year we would do it more extensively this year, so I do at least want to touch a little bit more on some of the issues. Okay, so let's begin with. I'll just have somebody read for us very quickly, and then we'll move forward. Let's say Eitan, you want to do it? You want to do the honors, Kasevitz? Eitan?
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's about your turn.
Yeah,
it's always your turn, right?
Always, always. Okay. So Amar Rav Nachan, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Sach and Shalav Boros Kachav and Mutter Lishchopa Baser Lachatochpa Lachatochpa Baser Mutter Lishchopa Makalkel Baser Lachatochpa Baser Mitakein Him. Okay, so it's usher to do chaticha, but it's mutter to do shchita because shchita is kelkol, but chaticha is tikkun. Amar Rava Pam Shashochid usher mesukenes mechatech mechatech mutter beatme tekaim lekorbana. So there are times that, yeah.
So this is a very interesting Gemara, obviously, touching on a very core question. Eitan, what core question?
What constitutes tikkun?
Yeah, what constitutes tikkun and kilko? And one of the interesting issues already, just Mirosh, is the language of the Gemara, which should at least instigates further exploration. Meaning the Gemara is talking about, the context here is Isurei Hana, obviously. We're concerned about Shechita B'Sakin Shel Avodah Zarah. And it's just, you know, interesting that the Gemara brings in the language of kilkul and tikkun. Because one might have thought that the language of hana, which is about pleasure and benefit, and the language of tikkun and kilkul, which is about constructiveness and destructiveness, that these are two different ideas. The use of the terminology kilkul in connection, what I'm saying right now, by the way, is a linguistic point, but obviously it goes to the core of what we're talking about, and really on a certain level this might be exactly, you know, the solution to the problem or the issue, the core issue. And that is that even the phrase itself of hana'a and tikkun, right, do not necessarily, that's the point I'm trying to make, align. The concept of tikkun and kilkul have one kind of connotation, one would have thought, although for sure they overlap, there's no question about that, whereas hana and lack of hana seem to have a very different connotation. What do I mean by that, Eitan? In what sense? Who would you say? Would you agree?
I mean, you for sure could have thought that Hana is just much more pragmatic, while Tikkun is more formally defined as, like, do there exist? Yeah.
Well, Tikkun is defined as what? More formally as?
Meaning you could have said maybe Tikkun, like in the Maisa, is it considered a constructive action?
Correct. Now, it's Hana is, and again, this is partially what some of the Rishonim end up saying. It's just interesting. The way that they say it is important because of the implications, you know, for a lot of subtle, you know, smaller things, both within the question of the Tchum of Yisur Hana, as well as the Tchum of, as we'll discuss, of Hilchos Shabbos, or other contexts that depend on Kilkul and Tikkun. But one would have thought, Meirosh, that Shechita is never Mekalkel, right? Although Shechita could be, you know, an action that is economically inefficient, or even economically adverse. But one would have thought that the expression Kilkul and Tikkun, right, really refer to destructiveness or construct. That's what Eitan just said. Constructive and destructive. Constructive and destructive describe the action. So if something has, you know, multiple usages, right, but they're considered to be functions or usages, right, you might think that that is, you know, inoculated against ever being viewed as destructive. It may not be optimal, right? You're not maximizing, you know, your benefits, you know, certainly not in the aggregate way, but that doesn't mean that what you're doing is destructive. By the way, this would be particularly true. This would be particularly true if the action in question is, by definition, a formal legal action, which even in some respects, in any respects, refines or redefines, you know, the cheftza, you know, or the maisa, right? Like something like shechita, right? You're not allowed to eat basar without a matir. You know, that matir accomplished a topic we've been discussing, you know, throughout the year by shechita. So shechita can never be kilkul as an action, as a standalone action. It might be, again, inefficient. It might be economically unproductive, right? But the term, you know, destructive, when it actually, you know, transforms or defines, you know, something in a way that permits it, it's a matir, you know, and it changes the definition clearly, letova. Again, it comes from the world of shechita. You know, it's matir achilas basar. It's a measured, defined, halachic performance. So to say that it is economically unwise, or even economically, as I say, inefficient or counterproductive, is one thing. To say that it is a wanton, you know, when you hear a kilkul, you know, you think of destruction, you know, like a mob. You think of baltashkes. Or maybe you shouldn't, but that's what I think of. Something is mekalkel, meaning it's destructive. You don't think of it being economically, you know, counterproductive or economically not maximal. You think of it as there's an emotional connotation to the word kilkul. So anything that's connected to that emotional connotation, frankly, seems completely inapplicable to Maisa Shechita. Because Maisa Shechita is by definition, now again, does Maisa Shechita necessarily a tikkun? I'm not really sure. But that it's not a kilkul from that perspective, from the perspective of the pu'ula, the tsuras ha-pu'ula, the definition or goal, the halachic construct, that it's not kilkul would seem to be certainly safe. Is it tikkun? I think you could even say it's a matir, but it's tikkun. Does it have to be matir, right, in order for it to be tikkun? Right, maybe it's enough simply that it eliminate Eiver Min HaChai, right? Or does it really need to be also matir the basar? Or what if it's motzi midei tuma, right, even if it isn't yet matir the basar? Right, we have that phenomenon too. Again, so if you have a cheftza, which is not nechal, and we'll get, I mean, we're just, you know, cutting through some of the things that we'll see. Let's say you're shochet, you know, b'shabbos l'avodah zara b'chutz. So in the end of the day, you can't eat it. What's the status of that shechita? You know, that's one circumstance. Let's say you have a shechita of a, shechita b'shabbos, which let's say, according to one view of the Ramban and Daf Yudalid, Amud Aleph, the sugyas that we discussed, right, the Ramban and the Ru'ah likes it, even the Halacha, right, is motzi midei nevela, right, even though there's no heter, you know, achila, right, that could be a second circumstance. And then, of course, the optimum one is where it's, you know, motzi midei avela, and it's matir midei toma, it's nevela, and it's also, matir the achilas basar, you know, maybe even more, let's say, in the context of kachim, you know, where it's also part of the process, you know, of a korban, you know, tshuva, of avodas Hashem. Maybe it's part of that already in Shkita Skula. So to say about something, to use the expression kilkul, right, when you're using language, you know, in a very sensitive way, in a way that refers, you know, again, to its connotation, would seem to be questionable. Again, you could draw the line in different places. To say whether it's, you know, does that mean it's tikkun? Hard to know. So part of the issue is going to be, you know, when we talk about hana, and when we talk, on the other hand, clearly when we talk about hana, we're talking about benefit. Right? We're not talking with that. That's definitely not a description of an action. It has nothing to do with baltashchis. Has nothing to do with, you know, tikkun v'kilkul per se. I mean, again, there's overlap, and that's why I find the Gemara curious, and I think it was definitely a gateway to the discussion in the Rishonim, but I find it, a little bit problematic. But at the end of the day, the idea that hana depends on, just like I don't think tikkun and, just like I don't think, sorry, that tikkun and kilkul depend on hana, the idea that hana should depend on tikkun v'kilkul, I think is equally problematic. Because if you're talking about Isur Hana, right, so you're talking about, again, Hana means pleasure or benefit. So when it comes to that question, the idea that that's an aggregate idea, you know, the that refers to maximizing, you know, as opposed to minimizing, you know, your options, that makes a great deal of sense. Okay, so that's already, now what I just said, you know, about the difference between kilkul and tikkun and, let's say, hana, or absence of hana, is without invoking the phrase, you know, melechas machsheves, which we'll see in a moment, melechas machsheves asr Torah. I would have just said that in its own right, the hagdara of kilkul v'tikkun alone allows for these distinctions. And again, kind of like baltashkis, you know, the idea of destruction, wantonness, you know, lurking in the background of the idea of kilkul. Could be that it's wrong, but that's the idea. There is another question, and that is that when we discuss kilkul and tikkun, or hana'a, or the absence of hana'a, right, there's another question, and that is, you know, whether we are interested, you know, in one category or in its, or the opposite, you know, of its extreme, parallel opposite. Meaning, if there are dinim in the halacha that require or that depend on tikkun v'kilkul, are those dinim that require tikkun or, you know, and therefore if you have something neutral, but it's not necessarily tikkun, you know, that's not enough. Or is the problem kilkol? As long as you avoid kilkol, that's going to be sufficient as well. Now, that could be related to the first question we just discussed, namely whether we're talking about wantonness and destructiveness or constructiveness, you know, et cetera, versus aggregate, you know, effect, economic effect, you know, et cetera, efficiency and so on. Could be related to it, but it doesn't have to be. You can envision that there might be issues that focus on the quality of what it is that you're doing as opposed primarily. I'll go again. There's always going to be some overlap. I mean, kilkul is something that's likely, you know, to have an economic expression. And, you know, hana or lack of hana is something that is likely, you know, to be connected to the nature of the performance. I'm just pointing out that notwithstanding the overlap, you know, the connotation and maybe even the hagdara, you know, are different. So a side-by-side question, which may overlap with this question, as I say, is what is the status of things that are neutral? So, for example, when it comes to Yisuri Ana, just throw out some questions. When it comes to Yisuri Ana, it's pretty clear that if you have something that is a wash, that is neutral, that there's no violation of Yisuri Ana. But you don't need something, you know, to produce revach, right? In order not to be suriana. You know, the problem is, I'm sorry, that not produce revach, sorry, like a double negative. But meaning that when it comes to suriana, the problem is that there are dinim in the Torah, Avodah Zarah being one of them, Yid Bakim Uma Menacherim, and, you know, Basim B'chalav and Kelaya Kerem and Chametz Pesach, many other things as well. Where it's asur lihanos, asur lihanos mimenu. But the isur hana, right, is not defined by not losing, right? It's defined by hana. So it's pretty clear when it comes to isur hana, you know, in the spectrum, you know, what it is that we're talking about. But if we're talking about, as I say, kilkul and tikkun, you know, not per se the economic or the efficiency or the aggregate or the, you know, and so on, but the malacha, the maisa, the hagdara, you know, of something. So it is conceivable that certain categories of halacha require a maisa tikkun, and that in other categories of halacha, right, anything less than kilkul will escape, you know, the problem, or will qualify. So there's a second question, and that is, do you need tikkun, or do you need to just avoid kilkul? And of course, nafka mina is something that is neutral. Now, things also, now just to make it a little more complicated, things can be neutral, right, in more than one way. So what happens, next question is, you know, which of the extremes is important in a particular category, and it might depend on the category, is what happens when you have, you know, multiple expressions or manifestations or dimensions, you know, some of which are kilkul and some of which are tikkun. Like, let's say you have, you know, tikkun v'kilkul, you know, bevasachas. So how will you, and it's, you know, depending on whether or not, you know, the category is kilkul or the category is tikkun, obviously that will determine a little bit, right? If you don't have something that is purely tikkun or purely kilkul, but, you know, yesh tzad tikkun v'yesh tzad kilkul, you know, that will, both in terms of neutralizing it, making it, you know, in between, but also separate from that question now, let's say, you know, yesh, there's an identifiable kilkul and an identifiable kilkul. It's not just that it's a wash, you know, it's neither kilkul nor tikkun. It's both. That's the question. You know, what will you say then? And an equal question is, do you need, going forward from that, do you need some measure of tikkun? Is it enough to have tikkun kol dehu? Is it enough to have kilkul kol dehu? You know, that's another question. Even, you know, separate from yesh kilkul v'yesh tikkun, does the amount matter? Okay, so these are issues to explore here, you know, in Hilchos Shabbos, and elsewhere, right? When you have complicated or complex institutions, you know, that are hard to gauge because, you know, there are multiple aspects, or when you have multiple things at the same time. The question of Melachat Machsheves obviously complicates this as well. So this is all of this discussion is noveya from Tosis's question. Eitan, let's get that on the record.
Yeah, sorry. So Tosis asks, Avagav de Beso Perak Eilu Dvarm B'Psachim Mechayev Linyan Shabbos Kabe Shochem B'Shabbos B'Chutz Lavodos Kochavim. So the Gemara B'Psachim seems to imply that when it comes to being chayev for at least for Shabbos, so you will be chayev in tikkun kol dehu. I'm sure tikkun kol dehu. The tikkun lahotzi midever menachai. So the Gemara seems to imply that just because there's a little element of tikkun, that's enough to constitute the whole thing as tikkun. So then what's pshat here by Isra and Avodah Zarah?
So again, Tosis asking the question assumes that these categories, you know, are the same. Or at least that they overlap. If they're not exactly the same, you know, then anything that doesn't constitute, you know, hana, right, is kilkul, or is enough kilkul. That's what Tosis is assuming. Correct? Yeah. Correct. It's also interesting, I mentioned this right before, you know, we stopped in last year. It's interesting that Tosis here and the Balamor, we'll get to that in just a second, and the Ran, all ask the question from the sugya in Psachim. Right, Eitan? What's the sugya there in Psachim? That what?
That you do a shechita for all three of these things. And even though practically you're not going to be able to eat it, it still is motzi midever menachai.
Yeah. So obviously this is a kind of a kol shekein question, because that's an extreme case where you don't get the typical, you know, benefit. It's like if you want to find the greatest amount of kilkul, you know, in a shechita, right? So look to that Gemara, right? Because you get the benefit of being motzi midever menachai, but it doesn't help you begavra at all. There's no, you know, there's a heter mitzad nevela, but you're not lemaisa are going to be able to eat it at all. It sounds like Tosis wouldn't have had the question, right, if they were asking instead from the Mishnah, right, in Shabbos, in Gimel and Beis, which lists the Avos Melacha, right, which includes Shechita. Obviously, if Shechita is in the list of Avos Melacha, then it can't intrinsically be kilkul. Right? But that's a little bit curious because, in terms of the sugya here, if we're thinking about, if we're contrasting it with Sakin Shel Avodah Zarah, is the case here a case where there's no achila?
No, it has achila.
Clearly it has achila. So why is it kilkul here? Because we're suggesting that it's still inefficient or still economically, you know, counterproductive. You have three, or let's say, uses for an animal, let's say, and, right? And it can produce food for you, it can do labor for you, or it can be your supper, let's say. And I guess, you know, mostly, you know, its biggest or its least, I guess, economic benefit is as supper. unless you're very hungry. Right? But that's a case where you can eat it. So obviously, if you think that sakin, you know, the criterion for sakin shel avodah zarah is applicable or causes, is inconsistent with, is incompatible with, you know, the din of tikkun or kilkul for Shabbos, then we should also be, one would think we should also be troubled by the Mishnah and Shabbos. Right? It's much more intuitively, and in terms of being a strong question, it's much better to ask from the Mishnah and Shabbos than it is to ask from the Sugya and Psachim. Right? It's not a Mishnah. You know, this is like a much more like Mehechatesi. It's like, you know, it's practically like asking from a Pasuk itself, you know. Right? So that's a curious thing. And we contrast that with Tosas in Shabbos and Kuvav. What does Tosas there have, Eitan?
So there he explains the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who seems to say that Kilkul is always going to be Pater no matter what, if there's an element of Kilkul. But then he asks from Chulin, and he seems to be saying that he seems to be talking about the general malacha of Shechita, that if the Gemara in Chulin says that Shechita is Kilkul, so then how's Rabbi Yehuda ever going to say that Kilkul is Chayiv? I mean that Shechita is Chayiv.
Yeah.
Yeah. From where he brings up the Gemara in Chulin? From the beginning or from where he quotes Tafchas?
Well, what he asks from, I'm more interested in. Yeah. From
our, okay, so, our yeah, so there's Alpha God the Kola Shochi Makalkal who I mean her comment to Chulin. Sakunchal, what is our mutter lishkotba? So the Gemara in Chulin seems to say that Shechita's Kilkul, so then how's Rabbi Yehuda ever gonna think that Shechita's Chayev b'Shabbos? Says Mud Rabbi Yehuda lina Shabbos Chayev the Dafkal in Avodazara Khashim Makalkal, the Siv Valiyadak Yatkam Umam and Acherim below Khashiv Lay Nene, came into Kalkula Yeser Al Tikuna. He says that Avodah Zarah's higher standards for Tikkun, because it doesn't constitute Hana.
So basically, he's not asking from Psachim, correct?
Right. He's asking about Shechita in general.
So the truth is, in terms of our Gemara, again, which is talking about a case of Achila, it's not talking about Avodah Zarah, Bachutz, B'Shabbos, etc. Right? Tosis's question in Shabbos is actually a more natural and a stronger question, one would think. It sounds like Tosas here, again, I don't know for sure, but Tosas the Balamor, the Ran here, by asking from Psachim, I guess there are two approaches you could take. You know, one is it's just a kol shekain. When you see that even in a case where there's no Achila Sagavra, there's no Lemaisa Heter, right, even then it's considered Tikkun or it's not considered Kilkul. So that is going much further than the Mishnah in Shabbos. So you could just say that this is a stronger question from a weaker makar, right? But we already know there's the Mishnah. It doesn't weaken it. If anything, it just strengthens the question. That's one way to look at it. Or is there a suggestion that if we had only been asking for the Mishnah, we wouldn't have a problem? Right? And why wouldn't we have a problem? So my suggestion is, because of what we just said before, and that is, there is a recognition, all things being equal, that there's a difference between, you know, Kilkul and Tikkun, right, and Isuri Anah, and that Kilkul and Tikkun refers to the, you know, the fact that, you know, that the quality of the action. There are three things you could do with the behemoth. None of those things are destructive, per se. Just only relative one to the other. When it's relative one to the other, so then it's inefficient, then it's economically counterproductive, etc. But, you know, if you're hungry, even if you're not hungry, you know, this is still not, no one's going to say it's baltashkes, right? Moreover, as I said before, this is a defined halachic action that allows you to eat. It's not some random action. And that comes from the world of Kachim, and that is clearly, you know, a mitzvah for about which you make a bracha. You know, we spend so much time on that whole part of it. So per se, the idea that shechita, which leads to achila, is considered to be kilkul, even though that's economically, you know, counterproductive, maybe, you know, maybe that's why Tosas didn't ask for the Mishnah and Shabbos. Not because they wanted a stronger question, but because they wouldn't have been a question. Right? But once you take away the pragmatic heter achila, so maybe you would say, well, in that case, this is it. Now, it's a little bit tricky because it is still matir miosav yezbeno. I'm sorry, meiver menachai, right? And it, in theory, is motzi also midei nevela. There's just no heter gavra. So in terms of the tzura of the malacha, right, it's still a matir. But since pragmatically, it's not to say, well, this particular shechita doesn't serve lemaisa, you know, one of the three options. So it's not just an economic problem. It also, given the reality, you know, it's an act of kilkul because it doesn't, mitzana gavra, it doesn't do anything. Maybe that's a question that bothered Tosas. Maybe. In light of that, it's certainly interesting. Again, the Tosas in Shabbos asked the question the other way. How does Tosas answer the question?
Yeah, so he says that it's Malachas Mach Shabbos. It says
Malachas
that
Shabbos also Torah.
Yeah.
Okay. And as I just tried to allude to before, Tosas in Shabbos doesn't mention Malachas Mach Shabbos.
Right.
So again, it could just be. Again, the Balamor mentions it. The Ran mentions it. I'm just going to look at the language a little bit because it's interesting. Again, not so much you can do with it right now, but at least to be careful and cognizant of it, you know, going forward. Very, very subtle differences in language, but they're still important. But, you know, the point may very well be, given what we were just talking about, that Tosas and Shabbos, I mean, what I would want to say is, Tosas and Shabbos asks from the Mishnah and Shabbos. And basically, their answer is, maybe, that shiny isurei ana, meaning Shabbos, I'm sorry, shechita's not a kalkel, maybe it's even metake. That's more of a question. Right, depending on which one you need. But it's certainly not mekalkel, you know, because it produces heter achila. So to answer that question, and maybe he's not bothered by psachim more, because it also produces heter achila, just that it's overridden lemaisa on a gavra level, not on a cheftza level, you know, by, you know, it's iser, you know, de revia, you know, alei. But maybe the point is that Tosan Shabbos is saying, we don't even need Malachas Machshavas. Right? When you have a halachically defined, you know, matir, you know, with everything that comes with it, I don't even know where you need to draw the line. But, you know, then this is not, the assumption is wrong. Right? That's not Makalkel. When you have three things you can do with an object, just because economically, you know, you get more, you get bigger bang for your buck, I guess, and when you do one than when you do the other. Loha reza mekalken, ulaiza filu bichlal betakin. You know, for that, you don't need to invoke, maybe, balachas makshavas asra Torah. It's enough to say that the real onus is on the Yisurei Hana, meaning one might have thought that when it comes to Yisurei Hana, right, that as long as Yesh Lo Hana from what he does, even if it's on an aggregate Hana, that's an interesting question in Hilchos Hana, right? Let's say you are Nana for what you want. Let's say you are Nana for one of the options. That's A. Let's say your nana, you know, for what you specifically subjectively want. That's even a stronger case. Right? So maybe that is an Isur Hanah, even though objectively, in the aggregate, economically, right, you've still, lost ground. Not so obvious that when there are three options, you know, for a chefetz, and especially if you are interested in, as an act of will, you choose, you elect to for one of them and not the other, it's not so clear that that shouldn't violate Isur Hanah. So the Chiddush maybe is, at least for Tosfos and Shabbos, maybe, not so much that Shechita, right? Certainly not Shechita of the Mishnah and Shabbos. As for Shechita in Psachim, maybe not even that. Because maybe that's kind of just an artificial problem. Maybe the Chiddush is that Shiny Avodah Zarah. You don't need Malach Machshavas for that. And by the way, is it true about all Isurei Hanah? Or is it only true about Avodah Zarah? It's interesting that Tosfos in Shabbos, unlike Tosfos here, goes out of his way to quote Lo Yidbak Me'uma Min Acherim. You know, earlier when we talked about Mumar, you know, L'Avodah Zarah, so I spent a couple of days trying to highlight, you know, what is singular about Avodah Zarah, you know, and how it has its own, you know, especially its own korban, you know, again, kol ha, you know, kol hakofer b'Avodah Zarah kilu moda b'kol haTorah kula, never mind kol hakofer, kol moda b'Avodah Zarah kilu kofer b'kol haTorah kula, and all of that, and what Ramban says in Al HaTorah and Parshas Shlach, you know, about being the korban mumar, you know, in the language of the Torah, all the things. We talked about special nasis, right, a special special dinim that surround Avodah Zarah because of what is at stake. So one of the things that I mentioned, and then again we had mentioned it earlier in the year as well, is the special Isur Hanah based on Layidbak Me'uma, right, Menacherin. So is it possible that, you know, maybe this din, you know, that you look at the aggregate, you know, l'kula l'chumra, is there any difference between this Isur Hanah and the Isur Hanah of other dinim? Hard to know. Okay. Anyway, so that I think is an important difference, and maybe a consistent difference between Tosfos and Shabbos and Tosfos and Tosfos in our sugya. Okay, if you look at the Balamor, I'm saying if you look at Tosfos here, so now let's talk about something else, and that is, how then does this work? Right, so according to Tosfos in Shabbos, sounds like we don't need to invoke Melachas Machshavas Asra Torah, right? Definitely not for the Mishnah and Shabbos, maybe not even for the Gemara and Psachim. Tosfos didn't follow through with the Gemara and Psachim. Maybe they thought the dominant issue is that once you've solved the Mishnah issue, that carries forward for the Psachim Gemara as well, because it's Araya Deravi Alei, basically. Right? Practically it's different, but it's not fundamentally different. And the real Chiddush, I say, is the Isur Hanah part of it. But Kilkul Tikkun and Isur Hanah are two different things. According to Artosis, where the emphasis was on Psachim, and they took Psachim seriously, they also needed to invoke Melech Machshavas Asra Torah. So there are different ways that could have been done as well. It could be that all you're saying about Melech Machshavas Asra Torah in the broadest sense is what we were just saying without invoking it. And that is that the category in Shabbos isn't about Hana, right? You don't need Hana to be Chayiv in Shabbos. You need Tikkun. Or you need that the absence, maybe even more precisely, of kilkul. And as far as that is concerned, and how do we know that? Meaning that we don't care about the aggregate economic, you know, premium, but we care about, you know, the, you know, wantonness, destructiveness, constructiveness, I mean, that we're focused on the maisa, the tsuras amaisa, whatever it is. How do we know that? Because malachas machshevas osra Torah. I mean, even though the Gemara invokes it, right, they just mean it, right, in a broader way. They mean it, you know, to say, well, Hilchos Shabbos is about the maisa or about the chefetz shel malacha. Those could be different too. It's not about, has nothing to do with, and never measured by dollars and cents. One could have said that. In the same way that one might say it in Bava Kamma, Samach Amud Aleph, right, a Gemara that we've already made allusion to and to discuss very extensively last year. We'll discuss it again in a couple of minutes. Right, on Bava Kamma, Samach Amud Aleph, what happens in Bava Kamma, Samach Amud Aleph, Binyamin?
It's the sukkah of Zorah and Koach Achimur of Balayish.
Right. The Gemara there says, what's the background? The Gemara says that Leva Velivsa Haruach. The Gemara says, like, how are you chayiv, right, for that? The Gemara says, why wouldn't you be chayiv, you know, just as you are chayiv, right, in Hilchos Shabbos for Malaches Zora. You have the Gemara there very quickly?
Yeah. Tanur Rabbanan, Liba Vlivsa Haruach, Im Yesh Bilibuyo Kedel Vosa, Chayev, Vimlav Pater. Amai, Lihavi Kizora Varuach Misayato, Amar Abaye, Hachab Mayaskinan, Kigon Shaliba Mitzad Echad, Vilibso Haruach Mitzad Acher. Rava Amar, Kigon Shaliba Baruch Mitsuya, Vilibso Haruach Baruch Shena Mitsuya. Rabbi Zera Amar, Kigon Ditsamar Tsimuri, Ravashi Amar Ki Amrin and Zav Ruach Mesayato, Hani Mili Le'inin Shabbos, the Malachas Machsheves, Asra Torah, Aval Hacha, Groma Be'almahu, Ugroma Binizak in Pater.
Yeah, so of course, Rava is the key for us at the moment, right? And that he distinguishes between Mazdik, where Groma is not Chayiv, as opposed to Shabbos, where Malachas Machsheves, Osra Torah. Okay, so that is a very pivotal, seemingly that's a very pivotal Gemara. As we already mentioned, that's the only Gemara in Shas where Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah is quoted as a reason to be Mechayiv rather than to be Poter. As we're familiar with Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah as the foundation for the Ptur of certain major Klalim in Shabbos. Right, the Gemara says in Chagiga and Daf Yudam and Aleph that Mekalkel, this is one of the things we're discussing, that Mekalkel is Potter and Shabbos, right, because of Malach Smachsheves Osra Torah. That's a kula. Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, the Gemara there also seems to say, is Potter, right, because of Malach Smachsheves Osra Torah. There's a problem with that, but that's what the Gemara seems to say in Chagiga. Kelachayad, misasek, the Gemara says in Krisus, right? The Gemara says that if you're misasek b'Shabbos, that you're potter, because malachas machsheves, right? Osra Torah. So in all those cases, malachas machsheves Osra Torah is invoked as a kula, that Shabbos has a higher threshold, a higher standard. And you, if you don't meet that higher standard, then we're mekel, you're potter. And here in Bava Kamma, the Gemara is quoting Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah to explain why, even though in Dine Mazik, this is groma and you're potter, nonetheless, in Hilchos Shabbos, you're going to be chay. So what does the Gemara mean by that? That's very strange. That's opposite of what we would typically expect. So, one way to read that Gemara, well, first of all, we should note there are several answers in the Gemara. It's only the last answer which says this. It could be that that Gemara is the law of the Hilchasa. It doesn't seem that way. What is it, Ravashi? But that's something just to know. Right? There is a discussion in the Rishonim whether the other factors that the Gemara quotes there are also lahalacha, or maybe only lahalacha, and whether this Gemara about Malach Smachsheves Osra Torah, let's say, L'chumra, makes the final cut or not. The Rush, as we noted last year, seems to take also a narrowing stand in the quotation of this Gemara, but min harosh, meaning, you know, efshar lishmoa, you know, something even broader. Okay, what does the Rush say? Anybody get a chance to look at it? Tani, you saw it?
He says it's a special din in Zora, the Kerasios Lidea Ruach.
Correct. But the Rush in Bava Kamma seems to say that all the Gemara really wants to establish is that the Malacha of Zora, very specifically, right, is defined by harnessing, right, the harnessing the wind, right, for the sake of separating, right, the this is what the Vav Yud Aleph. So the way the Rush says, very subtle in the Rush. So this Rush, very quietly, but very importantly, basically says that Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah's role in this Gemara is extremely limited. It establishes only that the Shem Malacha or the Tsuras Malacha of Zorah, right, is defined by harnessing the power of the wind. So grum ayidei grumma shel haruach is part of the initial shem malachan zor. Now it's not like there are there's the standard, let's say, you know, of maisa, and you can extend it, you know, in zorah, let's say, by means of the principle of Malachas Machshavas Osra Torah. Rather, this relates to this specific Tzuras HaMalacha to begin with. Now, it's a little odd, I will say. I don't remember if I said this last year or not, but if I didn't, I'll say it now. I believe I probably said it last year too, but I'll repeat it. Meaning, even according to the Rush, you wonder a little bit, you know, whether or not there isn't a broader application of Malachas Machshavas Osra Torah. Does the Gemara only mean to say something very specific about Malachas Zorah? Or is that specific point about Malachas Zorah also reflect something broader about Hilchos Shabbos, not necessarily as a chumrah, but as an orientation, right, in terms of being defined, you know, by in a more subjective way, let's say, that, you know, the person and his plan and his, I mean, if it weren't for the fact that Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah, right, then it wouldn't be true that Zorah could be defined in a way which also harnesses some other force. So it's not just that Malachas Zorah is defined this way. It's Malachas Zorah is defined this way, and it can be defined this way because of a certain orientation, more broadly speaking, in Hilchos Shabbos. Everybody with me? That's a subtle point, but it's a point that needs to be made. Either way, whether that is true or not, one could say that Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah here, even if it isn't just about Malachas Zorah, does establish in a broader way that, again, that there's a subjective component, or that there's the narrower, let's say, focus, right, in defining, you know, Malachas Shabbos. And that does include, you know, machshavas agavra. But again, we're not talking about, you know, expanding or transforming, you know, definitions, or even a, well, I'll get to in a minute, a kind of an internal way of calculating, you know, some of these categories. I'll explain what I mean in a minute. We're talking about what I was talking about before, namely, you know, we don't need to be looking at aggregate hana. It's sufficient to say either that there's no kilkul, or that there's some tikkun, or that there's tikkun from a subjective point of view in terms of his interest now, right? In the same way that the Gemara says melachas machshavas asra Torah, I mean, just like, you know, we care in monetary matters about contributory factors, because it's about being exclusively responsible, you know, for a loss. That's a sugya in Bava Kamma, and therefore Grumma undercuts that. And in Shabbos, right, we're interested in the quality of the action, not in the fact that it is an exclusive, you know, factor in causing the result. And therefore, these definitions stand. So either way, I'm just extrapolating a little bit. What I'm saying is, according to the Rosh, melachas machshavas asra Torah is a very limited meaning in Bava Kamma. A, I'm wondering a little bit, A1, you know, whether that also doesn't need to be working, you know, with a broader orientation from melachas machshavas asra Torah beyond other things. And then C, I'm saying in light of that, you could say that even if you invoke melachas machshavas asra Torah, what you're really trying to say is we care about the gavra and his maisa, you know, and the intrinsic, you know, quality of it, you know, not about its effect, you know, vis-a-vis other factors, especially economic. However, excuse me, however, it's also possible that melachas machshavas asra Torah, right, has a more acute, let's say, contribution here. If you look at Rashi and Bava Kamma, as discussed last year, right, Rashi and Bava Kamma does seem to say that melachas machshavas asra Torah has a melachas machshavas niskaima machshavto de nichale beruach nisayaso. So does that mean what I just said? Meaning, in a narrower way, he did a constructive action, to nichale beruach misayaso? Or is this Rashi's way of saying that melachas machsheves has some sort of transformative potential? That's what is grumma in Bava Kamma, right, becomes maisa ha'adam in Hilchos Shabbos. Because since he's harnessing it and he knows it, so our definition of malacha is more plastic, it's more flexible, right, in Hilchos Shabbos, as opposed to, let's say, the Rush, who was saying, this is grama in Bava Kamma, it also is grama in Shabbos, but that's just what Zora is, or maybe a little more. So is Rashi saying, this kaima makshavta dicha beruach misayaso, therefore, you know, this is, it sounds like Rashi's saying that therefore what is grama in Bava Kamma is a maisa, is turned into a maisa in Hilchos Shabbos. That's very important. Tosas in Bava Kamma, without going into details, seems to suggest that this remains grama. Ukeshagorem lizro saruach hamasayaso hava malachas makshaves v'lohachi chayiv b'grama zriyazu. Because Tosas seems to take a middle position, and that is, this is grama in Bava Kamma. It's also grama in Hilchos Shabbos. The chiddush is that melachas machshavas can be mechayev you in Hilchos Shabbos, even for grama. Not because of Zora's specific tzuras hamalacha, like the Rush, and not that, you know, maybe this is you know, transformative and makes, you know, grama into asiya, because you look at the ability of the man to manipulate it. But the Torah's grama, your chayev on Shabbos, because of Olam Machshav. Sounds like Malachas Machshaves, right, has this ability. So if you look back now in our sugya, again, either we don't need to invoke Malachas Machshaves at all, like Tosis and Shabbos, or by invoking Malachas Machshaves, all we mean to say is shiny Isuri Ahana, or shiny Hokas Shabbos, that even though you have multiple alternatives of what to do with this chayfetz, any, you can have, you know, any constructive, meaning not baltashkis, not destructive action, you know, also qualifies, because all we care about is malachas machshavas, and mitzad ha-malacha, forgetting mitzad ha-mamon, this is fine. That's all we mean to say. In Tosas, it sounds like more than that. Tosas seems to apply malachas machshavas to how much tikkun you require, or to what I discussed before. Let's say you have tikkun v'kilkul ba'osozman, right? What about that? Do you need tikkun, or is it enough to escape kilkul? Or maybe even tikkun kol dehu, even if you acknowledge that it's tikkun kol dehu, maybe that's enough, and maybe that's because of the subjective fact. This is your interest. You're interested in the tikkun ktsas, even if it remains tikkun ktsas, that's enough, because malachas machshaves asra Torah. That's what Tosa seems to say. Tosa says, shiny Shabbos to malachas machshaves asra Torah. The kivun sheyesh tikkun purta chashiv malachas machshaves. Shelekach niskavein. If this is what the gavra's focus is, and it's purta to begin with, that's enough. Afapisha kilkulo, yeser, altikuno. Even though it's not even side by side, yesh tikkun v'yesh kilkul, the kilkul overwhelms. Right, instead of saying who cares, it's not about money, and it's not kilkulo yeser me. No kilkul at all. You could have said shchita's not kilkul at all. Right, at least in the psachim case, maybe it is, because you can't do anything with this, right? But objectively, it's not a maisa kilkul. So the Tosas' formulation is very important. Then he has the contrast of al nene, of alinya nene, mevodes kochavim, lo chashiv anah, kim shekilkula yeser al tikkun. So it sounds like when you have kilkul yeser al tikkun, right, because of malachas machshavas, that's enough in Shabbos, and in Yisra anah, it's not. Maybe Sarna is the normal, and maybe the Chiddush is actually Malachas Machshavas. The Baal Amor has a slightly different formulation. If you look at Baal Amor is troubled by the Rif and his omission of this Gemara. I should mention that the Knesset Agdola, when the Akronim, suggests that the Rif omits this Gemara because of Tosas and Baal Amor's and Ran's question. Because he really thinks that there's no difference between the Hagdara of Tikkun and Kilkul and Hana and lack of Hana. That would be interesting. Baal Amor himself says, Lo Hizkira Harif. No, I'm sorry. Gamzu Lo Hizkira Harif. Vizek Kal Bi Surah Avodas Kachavim Iser Shabbos. By calling it Kal, okay. Lefisha Osra Torah Behem Malachas Machshavas, Klomar. B'machsheves tikkun kol dehu hava malacha. That's an interesting formulation. L'fika kashok epeshabes chayiv kol heched de lo hava mekalkel gomur. So there's a double interesting formulation in the Baal Amor. Number one, he doesn't say that machsheves means tikkun kol dehu hava tikkun, which is what Tosa says. What he says is tikkun kol dehu have a malacha. It sounds like that if, first of all, it sounds like in the Baal Amor, something that is similar to the Rabbi Kiveger, which we'll discuss in a minute, that if you have what's the impact of kilkul on malacha Shabbos? It's patur? Because of malacha Shabbos asra Torah? Or it's mafkia, the shame malacha? part of being melachas machsheves means it had to be meleches tikkun. It's a ptur or it's hafkas melacha. So the Balamar says, tikkun kol dehu, have a melacha. Meaning the problem of kilkol is that it's not a melacha. L'fikach ha-shkoshkei b'shabes chayiv, kol hekad ha-havah mekalkel, right? Kol hekad delo ha-havah mekalkel gomor. This goes to what we talked about before. Anything less than kilkul gomor, meaning tikkun kol dehu, is a malacha, or doesn't take away the shame malacha on Shabbos. You could have said like Tosis, tikkun kol dehu shma tikkun, because you need tikkun. Because otherwise you'd be potter. Okay, lamai nafkamina. By the way, the contrast to Avodah Zarah, Yisra'ana, will be Yisra'a Avodah Zkochavim, kol hecha delavim etakein gamur. In Shabbos, you need kilkul gamur to be potter. And in Yisra'ana, you're not chayiv unless it's tikkun gamur. That's also a very mechudash formulation. Because the simple pshat, like for Balei Tosis in general, is that in the aggregate, there's tikkun. I guess that's what Balamor means by tikkun gomor. You could have said tikkun gomor is a different meaning. Okay. Anyways, these formulations are very important. What do I mean by whether or not Melachas Machsheves affects the Hagdara of tikkun as opposed to the Hagdara of Melacha? Two things. Number one, again, we can't pursue these. We're not learning Yechol Shabbos, but they're worth being aware of and thinking about. One could have said that the whole din of Melachas Machsheves, Asra Torah, in this particular sugya, even as distinct from the Gemara in Bava Kama, is that it is an internal matter. Namely, the problem here is that Kilkel itself is a din of Melachas Machsheves. Why is Mekalkel Patur? According to Gemara Chagiga, because Melachas Machsheves Asra Torah. So, the ability of Melachas Machsheves, right, L'chumra, to neutralize the requirements of Melachas Machsheves L'kula, right, that's the issue that we're discussing, technically at least, in our Gemara. We're talking about something that has both tikkun and kilkul, or not absolute tikkun, not absolute kilkul, maybe tikkun tzas and kilkul rov, whatever it is. But the point is, if you want to introduce Melachas Machsheves, Asra Torah, here, right, as opposed to, let's say, in the Sugyan Bava Kama is about grama and Maisa. So whether it's according to the Rush or the wider view, as I mentioned before, or some wide view within the Rush, whether it's Rashi or Tosfos, last year when we discussed Bava Kama, brought in the tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, a very fascinating tshuva, but harnessing, the wind for kibui, which touches on a lot of these issues. I'm not going to go into that right now, but people should remember it or look it up if you haven't seen it. The sugya there is about the role of Melachas Machsheves in either defining Zohra, defining more broadly, the capacity of Melacha with Grama, or turning Grama into Asiya, etc. But the topic here for the Rishonim who quote Melachas Machsheves Asra Torah, actually, is slightly different. Might be better, might be worse. It's defining Kilkul based on Melachas Machsheves, right, which itself is the source for the problem of Kilkul. So here you might say that, since the Hagdara, since the effect of kilkul, right, is a Melachas Machsheves problem, so the ability of Melachas Machsheves also to define how much kilkul, how much tikkun, what about their coexistence, etc., that's a whole different issue and story. So that's point number one. Whereas the Baal HaMaor, you know, seems to kind of be ignoring that part of it, because for him, it's about the Malacha. The second point in the Baal HaMaor, the second point in that issue, goes back to the tshuva of Rabbi Kiviger, which we, you know, often make reference to. Rabbi Kiviger's discussion whether Misasek is considered to be a Maisa Avera or just a Ptur Karba. Okay? So, the solution of Rabbi Kiviger, again, this is the short part of the story, obviously, is to be Mechalek between two types of Misasek. Rabbi Kiviger says there are two Misaseks, as the Baal HaTosfos already pointed out. There are two scenarios of Misasek. One is what Baal HaTosfos, quote, call Misasek B'Kol HaTorah Kula. And the other is the special Misasek of Melachas Machshavas Asra Torah of Hilchos Shabbos. The Misasek of Kol HaTorah Kula is when there's a bigger gap between what you intended, meaning what you were cognizant of, and what took place. For example, miskaven lachtoch esatolush v'chotach esamechubar. Right, you wanted to do something that was not a malacha on Shabbos, lachtoch esatolush, and you didn't realize that it was really mechubar, so you ended up doing a malacha. That discrepancy is greater. Tosus thinks that's misasek b'kol HaTorah Kula, not just Hilchos Shabbos. When you have niskaven liptur v'asa chiyuv. However, says Tosus, is another misasek, and that's niskaven, right, lachtoch mechubar zeh, right, v'ola biyado, lo ola machshavto, kaz chotach mechubar acher. He wanted to do an act that is a malacha, but he wanted to do act A, malacha, and he ended up doing act B. Now, obviously, the discrepancy between his intention and his conclusion is much smaller in that case. Tosfos says that's only potur in Hilchos Shabbos. A parallel case in Kol HaTorah Kula would be chayiv. Why is it potur in Hilchos Shabbos? That's what the Gemara says in Krisos, right? Because of Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah. Says Rabbi Kiviger, and this is a little bit counterintuitive, that with regard to these two misasekes, the one based on Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah, and the one based on Kol HaTorah Kula, there is a nafka mina. And here's where it gets a little counterintuitive, because I would have said that the greater the discrepancy in between his awareness and his action, the more mufka from being a maista it is. Remember, that's what Kiviger is really discussing, right? Is this a maisa avera with a patur karban or afkas maisa avera? So Rabbi Kiviger says it depends. The Kol HaTorah Kula one is a maisa avera with a patur karban. But the Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah one, that's afkas maisa avera. That's Rabbi Kiviger's conclusion. Well, amai nafkamina, l'chatchila, does he have to be poreshim? That's one nafkamina. Second nafkamina would be for katan. The third nafkamina, the one that's more important for us at the moment, that's how he reads the Gemara Bava Kama, is kamlei bedraba minei. Rabbi Kiviger Eger says, you're only going to have a kamlei bedraba minei situation where you have a maisa avera, even if you have a ptur onesh, ptur karba. Right? That's Tana de Bechizkia, Chai v'misa, Shogin, Pturim. That will apply, you know, to Misasek as well. If you have a maisa avera, but you have a ptur, you have still what I call the eclipsing, and you have kam lebedraba mine. However, if it's mufka for the maisa avera, it's not considered an avera at all, then there's no kam lebedraba mine. So Rabbi Kiviger says, in my opinion, the Ptur Misasek of Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah, I'm adding now, even though it's less of a gap and less of a discrepancy, because either way you're mechavein l'chiyuv, just lo ola machshavta or lemaisa, but because it's a problem in melachas machshaves, there's hafkas maisa aveira, and there's no kamlei midrabim minei. Is that really true, that melachas machshaves osra Torah is mafkia the maisa aveira? So again, it's a little counterintuitive, you would think. But the truth is that that's what it sounds like in the Balamar as well. Balamar says here that Melachas Machsheves Asra Torah will create out of Tikkun Koldehu a Malacha. As opposed to Tosas, who says that the question of Melachas Machsheves Asra Torah's contribution, Kimon Sheyesh Tikkun Purta, Chashuv Melachas Machsheves. It's not clear. I'm not saying Tosas disagrees with the Balamar, but he doesn't say what the Balamar says. So unlike the Balamar, for Tosas, it would be appropriate to wonder about both of these points. Number one, is this just an internal calculus within Melachas Machshavas itself? The source of Kilkul being Patur can also be the source of Tikkun Ktzas being sufficient. B, according to Tosas, is it still possible to think that the problem of Malachas Machshavas, Asra Torah, is a ptur in Onshin? It's a requirement for Onesh. But it's not necessarily part of the Hagdara, right, of the Maisa Vera or Maisa Malacha of Shabbos. In that, there might be a difference between Tosas and Shabbos, I'm sorry, Tosas in Chulin and the language of the I'm going to have to stop in a minute. But this idea of Melachas Machshavas and its impact is something that needs to be pursued in other contexts as well. So I wanted you to look at, I guess we'll pick up with this and we try to finish up with it mostly tomorrow. I wanted to look at Tosas in Sanhedrin, Chavava Min Aleph, the Marsha and the Marshal there, to look also at the Ran and the Rajba in Shabbos in the end of Perek Abona. And also, if you get a chance, I don't think I gave this Mar Makom, although I should have, and that is the Kiryat Sefer of the Mabit in Ilkhus Shabbos, Perek Ches, in minus on page 34, in the beginning of Perek Ches, where he asks the question in general, how one pu'ula can make you chayiv multiple times for Hilchos Shabbos. Okay? So I want to discuss those, and then I want to discuss the Minchas Chinuch's discussion about doing a Mais on Shabbos that ends up, you know, creating an Isra Anah and causing you a loss. That's kind of a merging of these two questions, meaning what's Kilkul and what is Isra Anah? As well as, you know, again, something we talked about last year, again, the Rembrandt or the Van Gogh, as I prefer it. You know, what happens if you are mochek or kosev, which I think also are very much related to this question, as well as the Ramban and the Ravid, and then the Sugas in Yoredeya about what do you do for Tzak and Shalom Adazars or Yolech and Olo Yama Melach. So we'll continue with this and hopefully finish most of it, Yirat Hashem, tomorrow at 11. Okay? Okay, I'm going to run.